Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Welcome to the podcast. I can just say this is a pleasure and pretty exciting to be talking with America's pastor. That's what Christianity Today says about you. Mm-hmm. I love this one. The Ted Lasso of pastors from the Dallas Morning News. I don't even know what that means, Max. But we have Max Lucado with us this morning, and you have written a ton of books and recently a couple of kids' books. And we're going to talk to you about one this morning called Just in Case You Ever Feel Alone.
Well, thank you so much. I don't know what that Ted Lasso comment means either. I think I did watch a few of the episodes of the show. But I'm not a coach in England, that's for sure.
Well, the book, Just in Case You Ever Feel Alone, it's the second in the series of these books, and it talks a lot about loneliness. Mm.
There is a loneliness epidemic that's really sweeping the country, especially young people. You know, I've seen surveys that say 4 out of 5 children describe themselves as lonely. Everybody has a theory, you know, as to why that could be. I think we're still coming out of the COVID, the consequences of COVID. I think social media is certainly a contributor. We may be more distracted than we are connected, and the social media is not helping us develop relationships. But bottom line, it's a time in which many young people feel isolated and cut off.
You don't really grow out of this. This is something that you deal with as you get older as well. And I don't feel lonely too often. I feel really lonely in a large group of people. You walk into a room, and it's like, I think I'll just back out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, where do I start with somebody? Yeah. Building relationships.
Exactly. So why is it important to hit this early on in life?
Well, I think loneliness is that feeling that no one really cares about me. That no one really cares. And like you say, you can feel lonely in a large crowd. It's not the quantity of people, it's the quality of the connection, the relationship. Imagine a 4 or 5 or 6 year old already coming to the conclusion that I'm on my own. And they might draw this conclusion, reach this conclusion because nobody takes time to spend time with them. I love that old saying, you know, that children spell love with 4 letters, T-I-M-E. As we spend time with children, it takes away that loneliness. And in this busy, busy culture in which we live, it's quite possible for children to go long periods of time without truly feeling the affection and the attention of the important people in their lives, usually mom and dad or grandma and grandpa.
I'm really curious, how have you seen the closeness of God in your own life and in the lives of your grown daughters and grandchildren?
What a great question. You know, there's a warmth of the Holy Spirit that activates within the heart of a person who's surrendered their life to Christ and doing their very best to walk in sync with the Spirit. I find the promises of Jesus about this are just so affirming. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, the scripture says. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And that friendship that we have with Christ is the go-to source of comfort during times in which, you know, we do feel like nobody cares deeply about us.
Well, loneliness, which we've, you know, already addressed, that's a difficult emotion for anybody. It doesn't matter what your age. And what would you say to maybe an adult struggling with loneliness, but they're also trying to help their kids in that area, too? That's got to be kind of a strange struggle there.
Again, if we define loneliness as that emotion that says nobody truly cares about me, what we do is if we build our life upon that untruth, nobody really cares about me, that leads then to a false narrative, which then always leads to an overreaction. The deal is go right to the untruth and speak truth to it. The 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we take every thought captive, and we make it submit to Jesus Christ. And so when we take a thought captive, we're saying, now, are you true or not? The truth is somebody does care about me, and somebody does love me. My Creator, my King, my Maker, my Lord, my Messiah, He cares deeply about me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. So really the key to dealing with these emotions is to go right to that untruth and turn it into a truth. And the truth is God does love me. And then that keeps us away from that false narrative that nobody will ever care about me and that overreaction that can result in some bad decisions.
You know, I'm always looking for solutions. Like, what can I do to change this thing? So I think it's always helpful to have a plan for making changes when things just don't seem to be going in a good direction. So what kind of changes do you think that we could make with our kids and even starting with us as adults?
I think we're right to put a lot of the blame at the feet of social media. I don't know how a young person can develop a God-based self-image if most of their time is spent scrolling through the success stories of other kids their age.
Speak it, truth.
This insidious inclination that we have to compare ourselves with others either leads to arrogance or inferiority. And I think social media activates that desire to compare ourselves with other people. So I applaud the parents who are really policing the amount of time their kids have on social media. I'm not sure children need to be on social media until they're at least high school age. So I think that's an important decision.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Preach it.
Yes, I agree. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and there's the whole side of feeling like God isn't there. And so I find that as a hard concept to pass along, not only to myself, but to the kids, having them understand that God is with them when it's not something physical they can touch.
And it's not always something that we feel. This is the challenge of faith, right? Sometimes we have to take our feelings outside and just give them a good talking to. The fact that I feel lonely doesn't mean that I am alone. So what we're doing is we're helping our children and indeed helping one another decide who's the authority, my feelings or my faith. And if the authority is my feelings, then I'm going to be up and down and in and out. I'm going to lurch around through life depending upon what mood I'm in. But faith says, regardless of what mood I'm in, regardless of how I might feel on a given day, my faith says, no, Jesus rose from the tomb. He's reigning above. He's returning soon. And I'm going to live like that and make my decisions based not on my feelings, but my faith. That is an important tool to teach our kids. But I'm struck by how many times we have to have this conversation with grownups.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I need to hear it, too.
Absolutely. Are there, you know, I think that we can make the same connection of I don't feel close to God or I don't feel Him.
Right.
What do we do in that scenario?
Feelings are the consequence of weather, consequence of hormones, consequence of the moods of people around us. And so feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle. They deserve no authority in our life. Just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that is true. I often remind the church where I preach, in fact, just last Sunday, I had a sermon called, you know, just because you have a thought, you don't have to think it. we have all these thoughts that come our way, but if we take every thought captive, like we're trying to teach our kids to, we're saying, I think I will not think that thought. It does not have access to me anymore, because that thought can become a seed which can create toxic behavior. So it's all about managing our lives by managing our thoughts. I've wondered if that's why the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. He wants us to protect our head, protect our mind, let our minds be protected by the promise of salvation that we have through Christ.
You know, Max, you have such a calming delivery and spirit about you. I've always loved you on the radio. I've loved hearing you speaking. Is this going to be on tape that you can actually, are you going to read this?
It's already been recorded. I did it. I believe it. Yeah. It's an audio book.
Yeah. Do you have the book with you? It would be fantastic if you read a couple pages of it. That'd be awesome.
I do. Yes, sir.
We'll just sit here and listen.
Okay. I might put you to sleep.
No, never. We're going to just feel peace.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. I'm midway in the book.
Okay.
What this is, it's a pledge to the kids. You know, it's a pledge to your niece and nephew, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren. What you're doing is you're making a pledge to them to keep them company. But there could come a time when you're not there, and so that's why these pages are so important. If I seem too busy, just tell me. I'll make time to chat. No question is too big or small. You can count on me for that. And you know what? Even though I'm by your side, sitting right next to you, can you guess what's even better? God is right here too. And he never sleeps or goes away. So if you feel alone, just remember night or day, you're never on your own.
Oh, love that.
That's good.
Oh, can we just sit here and listen to some more? Oh, love it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, the past couple of years, it's so weird because the pandemic, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe it's 4 years behind us, almost exactly 4 years behind us, because in so many ways, it feels like we're still struggling to get out there and connect. You know, we're still struggling with the loneliness that began in quarantine. So I'm telling you right now, I got weird during the pandemic. Like, I'm having trouble forming connections. And I hear people say that they're in the same boat. How do we find that sense of togetherness and community again? Because that's going to be key to fighting this loneliness.
Boy, there's so much in what you just said that I agree with. Number one, it seems like it's been longer than 4 years, right? I always date the beginning of the pandemic with the last leap year. And here we just had another leap year, another February 29th. It seems like it's been 10 years. So much has happened during these years. And I think the toll that this has taken, especially among our young people, where anxiety levels are higher than they have ever been and leading to decisions that are so distressing and disturbing. We, in order to overcome this loneliness or this feeling of isolation, the solution is the good old-fashioned attempts to sit down with people and have good heart-to-heart conversations. There's no replacement for that. There's no other tool except connecting with people face-to-face and having heart-to-heart conversations. I do think that those years of isolation and quarantine interrupted that natural ability that many people have to do that. And when people, if they could attend a church, were told not to touch anyone at church, not to shake a hand or give a hug, or even to sit close to someone, it did something to us. It did something. And it's going to take a while for us to recover. But every tool at our disposal is available through the Holy Spirit. And he can do in just a moment what the best therapist could not do in several sessions.
That's so true. I I want to talk real quick about the illustrations. Man, the artwork is so beautiful. Eve Tharlett is the one who illustrated it. A little baby bear and a parent bear. So how did these illustrations come about? Because they are fantastic.
She is phenomenal. And her waiting list to have her illustrate a book, you'll have to wait on a waiting list for 2, maybe 3 years because she's in such high demand. And so kudos to my publisher who got in line, who got in the queue, because she really wanted to use this particular illustrator. And she did a masterful job. She lives in France. In fact, when you look at the illustrations, you can almost envision a French village, the bakery, the pathways. There's some of that beautiful European touch that comes through in her artistry.
And I love when they have a bike, a bear riding a bike. I mean, that's, you know, anytime you can get a bear riding a bike, we're good.
Oh, that's so good. You know, I think that we can easily think that the Bible is, you know, so far in the past, and yet I don't think people have changed that much. It could be thousands of years have gone by, but really, at the core of it, we're all the same. So when you go to the Bible, is there somebody that you think of that you go back to often when you think about loneliness?
Well, I think about King David. He's still my favorite character in Scripture just because his story was so full of amazing accomplishments and then stunning, stunning stupid decisions. And I can relate to that. You know, I can really relate to the dumb decisions. And I think the Psalm 51, the confessional psalm of David, is basically his cry of loneliness. Do not take your spirit away from me, he said. Do not, in other words, please, do not leave me for a second. And all of us who have failed, who have lived with remorse or regret and have gone to God with a confessional prayer, we're basically saying, did I out-sin your grace? Did I out-sin your willingness to forgive me? And of course, the great and wonderful answer is, oh, no, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I believe David's honesty in that prayer reflects the honesty in our own. So much of our walk with God comes down to choosing which voice to hear. Our default voice is that of insecurity. But the authoritative voice of God is a voice of security. He holds us. It's his hold on us that matters, not our hold on him.
Choosing the voice
that's good.
We listen to.
Yes. Yeah.
Powerful.
I'm just curious, Max, you're a pastor. My wife and I attended a church for a couple of years, and not one person walked up to us. Besides the people on staff that knew, oh, that's the guy on the radio, but just the regular people, is that a top-down thought that needs to be taught? Let's reach out to those that are new, or is it just built into people? I'm sticking to my own crowd.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking to anybody, you know?
What a great topic for pastors to discuss, because truly pastors create the culture with the help of God. And if you create an inviting, a welcoming culture, then it'll happen. It'll happen. People have to be reminded that the church does not exist for them, but we exist to reach others who are not in the church. And so an awareness, a sensitivity to those around us, pastors can teach this. We really can. Something as practical as having a moment in the service where you stand up and turn around and greet your neighbor. What you're doing there is saying it is so important that we'll take some of our, you know, precious minutes from our worship service and make sure everybody is greeted. Something like that can happen, and it creates this culture that we're here to say hello to one another. This is a challenge as the church gets larger, you know. I hate the phrase mega church, but that's what we use.
Yeah.
And it gets to be more of a challenge because people can slip in and slip out so easily and go unnoticed. However, it has to be a part of the church. And so I call on pastors to try to set the tone and create that hello culture that we want to have.
Because I wonder how much of going to church, of course, there you're there to praise God, you're there to worship Him, you're there to receive, you know, something that you learn about God. But I think how much of it is just hanging out with each other? Because I feel like if you get around good people, as opposed to maybe the guy down the street, that you shouldn't be, you know, hanging around with people that aren't believers. We should, but I think we need people just like us to build each other up.
And I'm terribly sorry you were 2 years at the church and no one greeted you. That's a collapse. That's a collapse. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big boy.
You found a different church.
Well, I was like, is there something wrong with me? I'm going to stick my neck out and, you know, introduce myself to other people.
Right.
But yeah, it just didn't naturally happen any other way. And I know I look weird, so maybe that's part of it.
I do recall 1 year I was working on a book and I had kind of gone into hibernation for a week and stayed at a friend's lake house. And come Sunday, I wasn't scheduled to preach at my church. And so I thought, well, I'll go visit an area church. I didn't look good. I did smell okay. I had jeans and a T-shirt. I didn't expect really to be in. But I wanted to go to church. I had not shaved all week. And I went to a church and nobody said anything. And so I remember feeling like there's something missing here. So I get what you're saying. And so I don't know if the lesson to that is to, you know, wear nicer clothes. I don't think it is. I do think the church has to be that place where people can find community. And then, of course, there are many people listening to this conversation right now who are saying, well, that really happens in a small group. And
yeah,
that's true.
That's true. Good point.
Living rooms, Bible study, Bible classes, small group, men's study, women's study. That's really where we do our best connecting.
I would agree with that. We moved from Indiana to Arizona, and the church that we were at there, maybe you're familiar with it, Northview Church, large church. And it wasn't until we got involved in the small group. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, this is where it's at, and you need to, especially if you're in a larger church and it's just naturally not going to happen that you meet, you know, the people that really those close relationships. Mm-hmm. So just in case you ever feel alone, Max, I'm thinking, you know, Easter's coming up. Maybe a gift for the kids to put in a little basket there.
Grandparents.
Yes. Great idea. Grandma and grandpa. I dedicated this book to our brand new grandson.
Ooh, congratulations.
Who was born at the very time this book went to press. we have another grandchild coming in about 2 or 3 weeks. So we're doing our part to keep the world populated.
Well, good. What did the grandkids call you and grandma?
Papa Max.
Aww.
And Dee Dee.
Dee Dee.
So cute. Dee-Bert.
Love it seems that. Like grandma gets the goofiest name. I don't know why.
Yeah. I'm a grandma and I'm Nanya and I can't even explain
Nanya.
It. But there you go.
Well, thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate it.
It's really great to connect with you and thank you so much for these minutes. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.